Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm really pleased to be here with you this evening to talk about love addiction and approval addiction, which I think are big issues for a lot of people. And so I'm going to be talking about the fact that, you know, living with this is, it's a hard way to live. And I'm going to discuss what creates these addictions and how to begin to heal yourself from love and approval addiction. And about halfway through the webinar, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of our products, but you certainly don't have to buy anything to get a lot of benefit from this webinar. But just letting you know that we will be talking about some products. So I'd like to define addiction first. And addiction is something that we do in order to avoid something that we don't want to feel, in order to avoid responsibility for our feelings, in order to avoid some pain that we think we can't handle, whether we're avoiding anxiety and depression, or whether we're avoiding loneliness and heartache. We're avoiding something by going to an addiction. It may be avoiding something like emptiness, which may be what a love and approval addiction is about. And I'm going to talk briefly here about how we became love and approval addicted. We learned this. You know, if you think about your family, where you came from, did your parents role model taking responsibility for feeling loved and full inside, for feeling worthy, for defining their own worth? Did you see your parents or caregivers defining their own worth and really having a way of filling themselves with love inside? Most people did not have that role modeling. In fact, I have not met anybody who said, oh yeah, my parents, you know, really showed me how to define myself and how to bring love inside. They did that for themselves and they were fantastic role models. I have not met anybody who's ever said that. That doesn't mean that they didn't come from parents who loved them, but in all likelihood, their parents may not have loved themselves. And that's the real issue here, is that when you didn't get the role modeling of your parents or other caregivers loving themselves, valuing themselves, having a connection with a higher source of love that they could turn to and a higher source of wisdom that they could turn to define themselves and their own worth and fill themselves with love so that they were not feeling empty and needy. If you didn't see that, then you had no way of learning how to do that for yourself. And instead, you probably saw your parents or caregivers trying to control how people felt about them, you know, what will the neighbors think, defining themselves through what other people think, through other people's approval or disapproval. And so I grew up that way, and I'm assuming most of you on this call grew up that way, believing that, you know, we had to do things right and be perfect because we needed other people to define us in order to be okay. And so when we don't know how to do this for ourselves, then it's very easy to become addicted to somebody else loving us, somebody else approving us, somebody else filling us up and making us feel good and worthy about ourselves, at least for that moment. Now, there's a lot of false beliefs behind love and approval addiction. And one of them is that it's somebody else's love and approval that makes me feel the best. I mean, that's like saying, you know, ice cream makes me feel the best, or this drug or this alcohol or whatever makes me feel the best. And, of course, when people believe that, then they get very addicted to whatever it is that they feel is going to make them feel the best. Now, until you actually have connected with a spiritual source of love and wisdom and brought that down inside of you, you just don't know that whatever somebody else gives you or whatever you get externally doesn't even compare to what you get when your heart is open and you're bringing that love inside of you. It just doesn't even come close to it. But as long as you haven't had that experience, and as long as the only time you actually feel good is when somebody else is loving you and somebody else is approving of you, you don't really know that something is even much, much, much better than that. I didn't know that until I experienced it. I didn't know that there was something so incredible to feel until I experienced that feeling of feeling full of love inside, the intense joy and lightness of being that comes when you're connected with a source of guidance and able to bring that down inside of you. It's just, it's really, really amazing what you can feel when you're in that connected state. And the first time I felt it, I was just absolutely blown away. Oh my God, this has got to be what life is all about. And what I've been experiencing as love from somebody else is just like a shadow of what joy this feeling is. But until you feel that, you don't know that. And so, of course, it's easy to get addicted to getting it from somebody else. Now, another false belief is I can't do this for myself. That I don't have the capacity or the capability of tapping into that source of love, that I can't go directly to the source of love. I have to go through somebody else. A lot of people believe this, that they're just not capable because they've never had the experience. And so they'll look at somebody else who they see as very loving, and they'll say, the only way that I'm going to feel good inside is if I can tap into that person's love. That person needs to be my source. That person can bring into me what I need because I can't do this for myself. Now, that's a huge false belief because it's never true. Everybody is capable. We're born capable of doing that for themselves. We shut down that aspect of us. We close our hearts because we want to avoid pain. And when our hearts are closed, we can't tap into that. But everybody can learn to open their heart if they really want to. And then another belief is that I can have control over getting the love and approval that I need. If I'm perfect enough or sexy enough or smart or rich or successful, I can have control over getting the love that I need in order to feel worthy and full. Now, the problem with this is that, yeah, sometimes we can have control over getting approval, but a lot of people have a confusion between love and approval. They're very different. Approval is conditional. Like, you do have to look a certain way, and you do have to have so much money, and you do have to, you know, be smart or whatever to get that approval. Whereas love is that which is unconditional. It is not based at all on externals. It's based on who you are internally, and it's not conditional on these outside things like how you look and how smart you are and how sexy you are and things like that. So, yeah, we can control approval to a certain extent, but we cannot control love. Love is unconditional. Love is a free gift. Somebody loves you, truly loves you. That is something they're doing from their own open heart. It's not something you can have control over. And so there's often a confusion, a big false belief about what we can have control over and what we can't. So let's talk now about healing love and approval addiction. So one of the things that we all need to accept is that we have a child inside, which is our feeling self. That's what in inner bonding we call our feeling self. A child, because it makes it easier to understand that we need to take responsibility for our feelings. And if you can imagine that your feeling self is a child, we know that children need love. They need love to thrive. So your inner child needs love in order to thrive. And if you don't give that love to yourself, then, of course, you're going to need it from others. It only makes sense. We need love. Love is the most important thing to thrive in the world. And if we're not giving it to ourselves and we don't know how to give it to ourselves, then we're going to need to try and get it from other people. And that is what needs to be healed. So one of the things that needs to happen in order to heal love and approval addiction is that you need to learn how to give it to yourself. And that's really a big part of what the inner bonding process is learning how to be that loving adult with your own feelings so that you can learn to bring inside that love that you need so badly. And when you do learn to bring it inside, that heals the addiction. You're not needy anymore of somebody else's love. And so, you know, I've had 43 years experience in working with people, and I see over and over again that when people learn how to truly love and value themselves, their addictions go away, whether it's a substance abuse or an addiction to love and approval. These addictions go away when you truly learn how to be loving to yourself. And one of the ways of starting to do that is to notice how unloving you are without judging yourself for that. And one of the major ways that most people are unloving to themselves is they judge themselves. And underneath the neediness for love and approval is self-abandonment. And most of us have learned a number of ways of abandoning ourselves. And self-judgment is a major, major form of self-abandonment. Whenever you judge yourself, you are harming yourself. You are making that child in you feel so bad that now that child is needy for somebody else to come and give him or her the love and approval that you're not giving to yourself. So one of the ways of starting to heal a love and approval addiction is to begin to notice your self-abandonment, and particularly your self-judgment. Begin to notice how much you judge yourself. There's many, many levels of self-judgment. It took me many years to really get down to how much I was judging myself. And when I finally started to see it, I was just amazed at how often I was kind of unconsciously giving myself these judgments of what I should do and what I shouldn't do and whether I was good or whether I was bad or whether I was right or whether I was wrong. I mean, it was just on and on and on, and how bad it made me feel. And so I started to notice it without judging myself for doing it. I decided, okay, I'm going to notice myself doing it because it makes me feel so bad, but I know if I judge myself for doing it, I'm going to still feel bad. I'm going to be stuck with it. And so I made a decision that I was going to notice myself judging myself. And it took time. It took about a good year of me noticing myself judging myself before I stopped judging. And for some reason, after about a year, I stopped. I wasn't judging myself anymore. And that made such a huge, huge difference in how I felt about myself. Once I stopped judging myself and could start to give myself the approval that I was trying to get from others, I stopped needing all that approval. In fact, I stopped even thinking about what other people thought about me. And that's an amazing thing that can happen. When you start to practice inner bonding, when you learn and practice inner bonding, and you learn how to bring that love to yourself rather than continue to abandon yourself, you will find that your addictions gradually go away, including a love and approval addiction. Now, the love and approval addiction has a huge negative effect on relationships, because when you're abandoning yourself by judging yourself and staying in your head and turning to addictions and making the other person responsible for your feelings, then you keep pulling on your partner to give you what you need because you're not giving it to yourself. And so when you're pulling on your partner, when trying to have control over getting your partner to give you what you're not giving yourself, this creates a resistance, usually in the other person. Nobody likes to be controlled. And so as soon as somebody feels like you're trying to control them to love you, they shut down and they go into resistance. And this creates, of course, a big wall in relationships. Your partner may comply when you pull, when you demand, when you're needy. Your partner may comply and caretake you, but underneath that, there's always an agenda that if that, you know, if your partner gives you what you want, you're going to give him or her what they want. And, you know, it's not a free gift, it's an exchange, and you better then love them in the way that they're not loving themselves. And that's called a codependent relationship, and ultimately that relationship breaks down. Another thing that may happen is that if you're coming from that neediness, your partner may be angry. People will get angry. They may shut down or they may get mad, they may comply, but whatever it is they do, underneath there's going to be some anger there because they don't like it. It doesn't feel good. It makes them feel used and objectified to be pulled on, that they're supposed to give you what you're supposed to be giving yourself. And they don't want that job. And so it creates a distance. And it especially affects the sexual relationship because if one person is pulling on the other to have sex or to have love and approval, it's a big turnoff. You know, we're attracted to people when they feel good about themselves, when they're in their power. We're not attracted to people generally when they're needy. So it has a huge effect on the sexual relationship. So practicing inner bonding and healing your love and approval addiction by learning how to bring that love into yourself will also heal your relationship. There are so many benefits of learning to love yourself. You know, I've worked with relationships for so many years, and I see relationships that can be really, really in trouble. But when each person decides that they're going to learn to love themselves, that relationship can heal. And even if one person decides, because people are in a system, and if only one person decides that they're going to learn to be loving them to themselves, it's going to change the system. I don't always know how. It could get a whole lot better. It could get worse. But the system is going to change when one person decides to be loving to themselves, and more often than not, it changes for the better. So I'm going to take a few minutes right now just to talk about some of the things that we have at our website that can support you in learning inner bonding, and then I'm going to take questions. A lot of people have written them in, and some of you online, I know, have questions. So we have a number of ways that you can learn inner bonding. One of them is that we have a free course on our website at innerbonding.com that's very, very helpful to begin to start learning. We have books, CDs, DVDs. We have phone sessions with me and with other facilitators. We have workshops and five-day intensives. We have an incredible program called SelfQuest, which is a very, very in-depth software program that teaches the inner bonding process in an incredibly deep way. And this is an expensive program. It's $997 for people on the call. If you email me at margaretinnerbonding.com, we give 40% off. And if you can't afford that and you go to the selfquest.com website and scroll down to option 4, we have a financial assistance program because we do want everybody who wants to work through this program have the benefit of this incredible program. And if you have questions about that, you can email me at margaret@innerbonding.com. We have an incredible membership site that is so supportive where you can ask your questions. We answer your questions usually within hours. We have forums. We have chats. It's interactive. People put down all kinds, they write all sorts of things and get an enormous amount of help and support, and it's a sliding scale on that site. As I said, we have 5-day intensives. The one coming up in June is filled, but we have one coming up in October. And if you're interested in that, you can call our office at 888-6-INNER-BOND. So now I would like to go to questions. And what I'm going to do is tell you, if you're online and you want to ask a question, if you're on the phone and you want to ask a question, you can click on *7, which will unmute you. *6 mutes you, and *7 unmutes you. And I'd be happy to do a few minutes of work with some of you that are on the phone this evening, and you can get a sense of what it's like to work with me with the inner bonding process. So usually takes a few minutes for people to feel comfortable enough to want to work with me on the phone. But if you do, you can press *7. And meanwhile, I'm going to take a question that somebody wrote in. And this one is by Marco. Marco says, I would like to know what to do specifically to get rid of damaging and limiting beliefs. Can you please give examples? So, you know, we all grow up with many, many false beliefs. For example, the false belief that there's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. That's a big false belief. Now, it doesn't actually work to, like, look in a mirror and give yourself affirmations and say, you know, I'm this wonderful, beautiful child of God, and then continue to abandon yourself. That your false belief about not being good enough isn't going to change. What changes false beliefs is taking the risk of taking loving action in your own behalf. Like, you might have a belief, for example, that if you're valuing yourself and loving yourself, that you're going to end up alone, that you have to be needy to be in a relationship. Well, in order for that belief to heal, you would have to actually take the action, the loving action towards yourself, so that you are no longer needy, and see what happens. That's the only way the false belief is truly going to get healed, is when you take loving action. Like, if you've got the belief that I'm not good enough, and you start to take action in your own behalf, loving action, treating yourself well, letting go of the self-judgment, feeding yourself well, getting enough exercise, speaking up for yourself with other people, doing, I mean, there's so many loving actions that you would take if you were really valuing, like if you had an actual child who you were really valuing, and you were taking loving action for that child would eventually get, I count, I'm important, I'm loved. Well, same thing happens on the inner level. So the false beliefs get healed when you're willing to take loving action in your own behalf. Okay, is there anybody yet who's ready to do some work with me, wants to press *7 and do some work? I don't see anybody here online yet. Oh, I heard a click. Is there somebody there who would like to do some work?
I would love to do some work with you.
Okay, what's your name, honey?
My name is Susan.
Okay, Susan, how can I help you tonight?
Thank you. Well, I definitely relate to having love and approval issues. My younger son died 6 years ago.
Ooh.
At 26. He had gotten into drugs, and here I am in education, and I work with families. And I am right now working full-time with children and teachers, etc. But inside myself, I honestly just don't feel, I always feel some kind of shame, or I always feel such low self-esteem. Like, can I really allow and accept anyone really loving me? Even though I'm very outgoing and I'm very warm and I'm friendly, and I love it when I fill myself up with such love, and I've experienced what you said, Dr. Paul, about, you know, feeling, being connected. But there's something inside me where I don't know, I feel so small. I just don't feel good enough. And I always wanted to be, I thought of going into my own counseling firm, or I mean, are doing something, and I always just stop short.
Hey, Susan, right now I'd like you to take a deep breath inside.
Okay.
And I'd like you to just tune inside to your feeling self.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to ask that little girl, what do I do? What do I tell you that makes you feel like you're not good enough, that makes you feel shame?
Comparing myself, putting everybody else up on a pedestal, and seeing all the beauty in others, but not seeing my own.
Okay, so when you do that, your little girl feels less than, feels not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like you to tune into the part of you that does that, the part of you that compares and puts people on a pedestal. And
mm-hmm.
we call this part, I don't know how much you know about inner bonding, but we call this part the wounded self. It's the ego self. And when you think about when you learned to do this, when you learned to compare and put people on pedestals,
mm-hmm.
how old do you think you were when you learned to do that?
Well, it was a pattern. I was always compared. You know, I mean, I can always tell that, you know, somebody else was always seemed better.
Yeah, so in your family, you learned to do that. And
yes.
When do you think you integrated that into yourself? When do you think that you started to become towards yourself the way your family was with you?
I'd say about 7 or 8.
Okay. So then imagine that 7 or 8-year-old, that's your wounded self, 7 or 8, when you absorbed, integrated your parents' way of being, of comparing
mm-hmm.
into yourself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to ask that 7-year-old in you, you know, there must be a good reason that you're comparing us to others. What is the hope for that? What are you trying to control by comparing?
Well, probably that I would be loved.
Yeah. So that's what you want to start to tune into, that this 7-year-old has a big false belief that comparing you will in some way motivate you to, you know, do it right or be more lovable or do something different. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just notice it as a form of control.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you want to start to notice, is that anytime you compare, anytime you judge yourself,
mm-hmm.
that's the 7-year-old trying to control something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really helpful if you just start to get aware. Shame is a very deep form of control. It was really amazing for me in my life, Susan, because I grew up with a lot of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started learning how to take loving care of myself and
mm-hmm.
Learned how to tap into that source, mm-hmm. I started to realize that I didn't need so much control over others. And if I didn't need
mm-hmm.
control over others, I didn't need the shame, because, you see, shame says that others' behavior is my fault, that others treat me badly, or they reject me, or they're mean to me, or they shut me out because it's my fault, because there's something wrong with me.
Hmm.
Does that make sense? It's not an easy.
Yes, or that I'm to blame for something.
Right, I'm to blame.
I'm not an. I didn't do it right. I didn't do it right.
Exactly.
I didn't make the right decision
exactly.
or the right choice.
You see,
yeah.
And that's a form of control, that they're behaving the way they are because of me, because I didn't do it right,
mm-hmm.
or because I'm not good enough, or I made the wrong choice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, we all learned to do this when we were little kids, because none of us, you know, I didn't know anybody who really got all the love that they needed in their life. And when we
mm-hmm.
don't get the love we need, we have to make a decision about how to see that. And either we really get that our parents don't know how to love us in the way we need to be loved, or we take it on ourselves and say, I'm not being loved because I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it gives us a feeling of control. If it's my fault, then I'm going to figure out how to do it good enough.
Well, what I noticed, what I do is I like I'd be the one to apologize or take the fault or be super nice or whatever, because I'm so afraid. There's some kind of just irrational fear of, I'm so scared of other people's being so strong with me or being
right.
so rejecting or
right.
and
so
I guess
Susan,
I'm needy for that connection.
Right. The thing that's going to heal your fear
mm-hmm.
is when you start to practice inner bonding and you develop what we call the loving adult. And the loving adult is the part of us that learns how to handle rejection, that learns how to handle anger without taking it personally, that learns how to speak up for ourselves, not to give ourselves up, not to crumble under somebody else's disapproval. And this happens as you learn to develop that spiritual connection, that personal connection with a powerful source of guidance. You develop that loving adult. You start to really value the child so that when somebody else is angry, mean, rejecting, you're able to not take it personally.
Right, and I can do that. I can do that with other people, but very close family members sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it's much harder, isn't it?
That's the hardest part.
I
and
know.
Also believing in what I, to really back my own self up to know what I even think of something sometimes, because I can see everybody else's point of view, and then it confuses me as to what's my own point of view.
Yeah, but see, one of the great things that happens with inner bonding, if
mm-hmm.
you really practice the process, is you
mm-hmm.
learn to stay connected with your own higher mind. In other words,
mm-hmm.
you get to access your own truth at will. And this is one of the greatest benefits of inner bonding, is that it enables you to keep your own clarity, enables you to be your own guru, enables you to make your own right,
mm-hmm.
best decisions for yourself
mm-hmm.
when you can access that guidance at will.
And how do you do that?
That is the inner bonding process. And so, I suggest you take the free course or do some of the things on the website to learn the inner bonding process and begin to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a practice. It's not just, okay, we'll do this and then you'll have that. It's a practice.
It's a practice, and then it's replacing being aware of when we're talking in a negative or
that's one of the things.
And
that's
then replacing it with more loving, with a different perspective.
Exactly.
A higher perspective.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
It's a blessing. I really enjoy you so much. You've really touched my life.
Thank you so much. Okay, is there anybody else online right now who would like some help?
Hi, Dr. Paul. I did do star 7.
Yes.
Hi.
This is Tracy.
Yes, hello, Tracy.
Should I I think we got too many people. Should I unmute here?
Pardon me? Okay, I'm going to work with Tracy right now, and then if there's somebody else that would like to work with me, I'd be happy to work with you, too.
Do I do star 6 to unmute?
Yes, star 6 to unmute and star 7 to star 6 to mute and star 7 to unmute. So go ahead, Tracy.
Yes, thank you. I guess I just feel like I might have some blind spots as to where I'm not loving myself. Because if you were to ask me, how much do you think you love yourself, I would say I'm at about 90 or 95%, which to
uh-huh.
me is a high percentage.
Right.
And so I'm trying to look at where my blind spots might be.
Okay. So right now, just breathe inside.
Okay.
Breathe inside and see, what are you feeling down inside? What's the feeling right now?
There's some excitement that I'm getting to talk to you, I guess.
Okay.
I like to find my blind spots because it'll help me get, feel better.
Okay, and the way that you're going to find your blind spots is by tuning into that feeling self. And I'd like you to ask that part of you that's excited, is there something you want to tell me about how I might not be attending to you in the way that you need to be attended to?
Can you say that again?
Yeah. Imagine that you're talking to a little child who is your feeling self.
Okay.
and there's some way that the child isn't feeling loved or attended to.
Yeah.
And you're asking her, tell me, what are you needing from me that I'm not giving to you yet? I know I'm doing a pretty good job, but there's something that I'm not giving to you. What is it I'm not giving to you right now? Something makes you feel, pardon me?
Go ahead, yeah.
Something makes you feel that there's a blind spot. What makes you feel that?
Well, the little self is saying, like, I need you to stop and listen to my feelings, and I need you to feel the feelings, you know, and be with me in the stillness.
Okay, so that's a very, very clear message. And a lot of times people think they're taking care of themselves well on many levels. They're, you know, maybe taking care of themselves financially, and they're, you know, taking care of their health, and they're taking care of their weight, and they're getting enough exercise. But one of the ways that many people do not take care of themselves is that they don't know how to stay present inside their body with their feelings. And one of the tenets of inner bonding is that our feelings are a source of inner guidance. Our feelings are always informational. They always have very, very important information for us about whether or not we're loving ourselves, whether or not we're being honest with ourselves, how other people are treating us, what's happening around us. These feelings are so vital. I mean, it's shocking to me how many people want to numb out their feelings with medication or addictions, because for me, my feelings is such a source of guidance. And through practicing inner bonding, I learned to stay present in my body. Before I did inner bonding, I was in my head. I wasn't aware of my feelings very much. But through the practice of inner bonding, I now live in my body rather than in my head. And I know the moment there's anything other than peace going on inside, so I can attend to it. And that's what I hear your little girl saying. You don't listen to me enough. You're not connected to my feelings enough. I need you to be more connected to me inside with my feelings. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And I think the part where I get afraid is, I'll give you an example, like when I talk to my sister, and sometimes, like, she'll talk for 20 minutes, and then when I talk, she cuts me off after 5, or, like, I can just tell she's not really listening.
Uh-huh.
And I feel inside, I mean, I feel hurt inside, and I feel sad inside, and I want to say, why don't you listen to me better, or why don't you listen to me more, but I don't know how to say that to her.
Okay, and Tracy, let's turn this around, because the fact is that very often, not always, but often, people are treating us the way we're treating ourselves. And you want to say to her, why don't you listen to me? But really what your little girl is saying to you is, why don't you listen to me? Because the truth is, if you were really listening to your little girl while your sister was talking, you would be behaving totally differently. You wouldn't sit there for 20 minutes while she went on and on and on, and didn't interact with you. You just would never do that if you were connected with your own feelings.
Mm.
And so for the moment,
yeah,
let go of worrying about what to say to your sister, because
okay,
that's going to come. If you learn and practice inner bonding, that is one of the loving actions you will learn to do. But the first thing you need to learn to do is to listen inside. Instead of expecting your sister to listen to you, you need to start to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. That is, in all likelihood, the blind spot that you're talking about, Tracy.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you. You're wonderful. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, and there was somebody else who had wanted to speak with me.
Hi, this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great. Well, thank you so much for having this call. I guess my question is a little double one, is, which is, you know, I really resonate with what you said about living in your head and trying to drop down to your feeling self a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Finding myself having difficulty dropping down on one hand, I'm also kind of finding myself very stuck. Like, I hear everything, it makes sense, but I feel just like I can't move, or I've got too many things to do, or, you know, just stuck.
Okay, so right now, let's just start. Step one of inner bonding is just breathing into your body right now. And just take a couple of deep breaths and breathe in and notice what you're feeling right now.
I mean, I'm definitely feeling just my head swirling versus, deep seated emotional feelings.
Okay. And so what I'm picking up here, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to plunge in with you, is that you're staying in your head because there's some feelings that you want to avoid. Staying in your head is a way of trying to control. Being busy, having to get too many things done, is a way to have control over not feeling something that you don't want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you're aware of what you're afraid to feel.
I don't know if it's as specific as much as just, I guess it's that fear of kind of diving down, and there, you know, there's parts of yourself that I just haven't been in touch with, and maybe not necessarily liking it, and then having to learn to accept it, or I'm not really
okay,
sure.
Okay, so one of the fears is that if you really open to yourself, you're going to find things about yourself that you don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let me just address that for a moment, because that's a very big false belief. In the inner bonding process, we differentiate between what we call our core self, which is our true essence soul self. And that part of us is just incredible in everybody. If you were to get to know that in everybody, it's just incredible. It's beautiful. It's talented. It's creative. It's loving. It's caring. I mean, it's just there's absolutely nothing wrong with that part of us. But because we all created a wounded self as part of our survival, there's a lot wrong with our wounded self, because the wounded self is based totally on false beliefs. It's not based on reality.
Yeah.
So when you say, I'm afraid of finding out something about myself that I don't like, it's really the wounded part of you is afraid of finding out about the wounded part of you.
Well, it's almost like that onion. Like, it feels like you're peeling through stuff to get to that core, and all that stuff you're peeling through comes up first. And
that's right. It does. And it's going to come up, but it's not you.
Yeah.
It's what you learn to be. It's not the true you.
Right.
It's all the false beliefs and fears that you accumulated in your life. But it's not the true you, and I assure you that if you take the time to start to go through those layers, you're going to find the diamond at the center. You're not going to find something at the center that you don't like. You can find something at the center that you absolutely adore.
Yeah.
Now the other thing that many people are afraid of is that as we were growing up, Sherry, all of us experienced levels of loneliness and heartache and heartbreak that were very, very difficult to deal with. They were actually impossible unless we had a very loving parent. Those deep feelings were impossible to deal with. And so we all learned to cover them up with staying in our head and judging ourselves and turning to addictions and making others responsible, you know, shaming ourselves, blaming ourselves. These are all things that we learn to do to cover over these deeper, what we call core feelings, the existential feelings of life, of what it feels like, you know, when somebody is mean or somebody is angry, somebody is rejecting. There's a heartache and there's a loneliness to that. And most people are so covered over that they don't even know that that's what they feel. And they're afraid to go into those feelings because they think they can't handle them, because they couldn't handle them when they were young. Now, I'm getting the sense with you, and of course I don't really know you, but I'm getting the sense with you that there are some of those core feelings in there that you're afraid to feel, that you don't know how to feel, and that you're afraid you're not going to be able to manage if you feel them. And it's one of the things that busyness does. See, busyness, I got to get this done, I got to get that done, is a way to protect against the feelings of loneliness or against the feelings of heartache that you're afraid that you can't manage. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, definitely, because I am a stuffer, so I've just stuffed the feelings for so long that you're right, I can't really tell what they are. They just feel too big. And
that's right, that's right. And that's why it would be so important for you to learn and practice inner bonding and develop that loving adult self, because that's what you need in order to manage those deeper feelings.
And would you say, like, if for the kickstarting, like you said about the judging, I mean, is that kind of universal as a place to start?
Yeah, noticing your self-judgment is a great place to start. But the best place to start is to either download our free course or get the SelfQuest program and start to learn and practice inner bonding, because noticing your self-judgment is just one loving action. The inner bonding process is a full six-step process that when you learn it and practice it, you develop that loving adult. You develop that spiritual connection and the ability to manage those feelings and get clarity on what is loving action for yourself. Noticing your self-judgments is one loving action, but there are many that all of us need to take for ourselves in order to really feel loved inside and heal those addictions to love and approval and feel that fullness and joy within our being that we all want. So I hope that you do take the time to learn and practice inner bonding.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'm so sorry, but we are out of time. I know many of you have questions, and there were questions written in. And I will be doing another webinar in a few weeks. I do them every few weeks. And I hope to speak with all of you then. So I'm going to click on the unmute so I can say goodbye to all of you. Good night, everybody. Good night, all of you. I hope you have a wonderful evening this evening, and thank you for joining me this evening.